Hey guys, my name is David. For the last roughly year or so, I've been a member of the PowerTech podcast, and I've trusted Eric and Andy to help me as a hockey dad raising my kids and trying to figure out the answers. I don't have all the answers, and it's a great source of information, and it's an area where I feel comfortable leaning on to help me make better decisions. With that said, one thing I do know about is supplements. I find it's hard to navigate the whole supplement world and make sure that you're using products that work, that are effective, and again, are science research based. Blue Star Products, incredible brand. Their products are based on research, science, the products work, trademark patent ingredients, and you can find all of the research just by scanning QR codes that are right on the back of the product. Thank you to Eric and Andy for their podcast. I think it's amazing, and definitely give Blue Star Products a try.
Good. What are you thinking?
You know what I'm thinking? I was listening to a podcast with one of the founders of Wikipedia.
Oh, yeah?
So interesting.
Where's he from?
Don't know. They didn't include that when they were talking.
How'd that thing start?
Lex Friedman podcast.
Yeah, but how did the Wikipedia start?
They wanted a way just more or less to put encyclopedia that's accessible to anybody online, so anybody can get it. But interesting how they allowed people to just make the edits. So they didn't go to, for example, if they put an entry about the moon, it didn't have to be a NASA astronaut that did the entry. It could just be anybody. And then they would self-edit through their community, like through the community of people that use Wikipedia. So at one time, it's not like this anymore, but when that started, it was just open to anybody to edit. So you could edit any Wikipedia page. Any person could go and edit it.
Is it still?
No. So after it got like hit the escape velocity, now they actually have like certain people within Wikipedia that can make edits.
And jeez, there's got to be a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. So they have an entry of, they have like millions and millions and millions of entries for everything. Really cool. Interesting guy. And then
what's his name? You remember? And does Wikipedia make money?
So this is the other thing that's cool is the business model for Wikipedia. They don't do advertisements. So if you use Wikipedia, you won't ever see any banners or anything like that because they just go from donations.
Really?
Yeah. So they have, and it's mostly small donors. Well, they say it's mostly small donors. He said that they have some high net worth people that do donate, but for the most part, it's like people donate $20, whatever. So if you go on Wikipedia to look something up, sometimes they'll have a banner on it that says like donate whatever. They'll do like a call to action every so often when you go on Wikipedia, and that's how they fundraise. So really? You'll never see an ad. His name was Jimmy Wales.
Huh.
And the other guy who he's not actually a founder. It's like kind of a controversial thing. His name's Larry Sanger. And he's like kind of a founder, but kind of not.
All right.
Anyways, so yeah, if you go on Wikipedia, you can check that out. It's really cool. And what a freaking website, man. It's unbelievable.
So like what makes it interesting to me is to donate, you'd have to really be on Wikipedia a lot, no?
Well, it's kind of like, it's the same as the model that we have here. It's like, if you really like the podcast and you've got value from it, then you...
Yeah. Right? I understand that, but it's like, I feel it'd be a little different because you have a segment of the population that's looking at a specific thing and can come back every week and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you could just Wikipedia anything. Like I would find that be like who, this is my question. Who wakes up in the morning and I go freaking Wikipedia? I'm going to go Wikipedia all day and then I'm going to donate some money because I feel like bad for using it. Like it's a weird thing to me, but.
Yeah, but it makes total sense. It's like if you go, because if you Google search something, a lot of the times what is referenced is Wikipedia. So it's like sometimes if you Google something and it gives you like the quick answer, like at the top of the page to what you asked, a lot of times it's from Wikipedia, right? So you're inadvertently using it way more than you think. Like everybody uses it to some degree if you're Googling stuff ever, you know?
Why Wikipedia? Any idea?
Any website that allows collaborative editing by users. That's what Wiki is for. Yeah, Wiki. Huh. Yeah. So That's the
interesting.
So there's like, cause there's Wikipedia, there's WikiLeaks. That was like a big thing with,
yeah, it was some government, was a government thing.
Yeah. I'm not even gonna say the names just in case we get this strike on the channel.
I don't pay attention,
but it's like any time, it's like an open source way where people can just edit what's there, right. I guess is what the wiki part means.
Right.
So you put wiki in front of everything and it implies that there's collaborative editing going on to whatever the thing is.
Should do a wiki podcast one day.
Yeah. Wiki podcast. Everybody can just jump on and edit whatever they feel like.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what I was thinking when you asked the question. Interesting. Interesting to learn from these people, man.
Yeah.
Okay. So last week we mentioned the topic we were going to do this week, but then we did a different topic last week. So now we're going to do that topic this week, which is about things not being personal. So I'm going to tell a story about that, which is kind of what planted the seed for me before we changed up the topic last week. So I want to go into that. Before we do that, do you have any opening remarks or anything you want to say?
Actually, I was going to talk about what we were talking about before, but
sure, go.
Just for 2 seconds.
Yeah, go for
Eric it. And I were just talking before about how he loves to eat. I said, like, I'm able to not love eating so much, and then we couldn't understand how someone could just, when you eat bad food over time, it just doesn't feel good. And then we were talking about, then I was talking about beer. I said, but so beer is something I always have to keep an eye on, and I do a good job of it now, but it's one of those things. But my one point was, I have to limit my situations, meaning I purposely say no to a lot of people to not put myself in a situation where I am accessible to booze. Not, I don't want to sound like I'm a
alcoholic
chronic here, but I just, but my point is that
it's advice.
In order
to
stay
it.
Healthy for me, yeah. I need to limit my beer and I want to feel good. So I only have a couple here and there now. Whereas, but I was very aware when I was in my 20s, 30s, that I could very easily go sideways with the alcohol. So I always had kept that in the back of my mind. And then as I got older, I was able to really shut her down. So that was the first thing I wanted to say. And then, but so basically the environment wins. So taking that to the next level, it wins in everything. Like you're saying, if you're not totally dialed in, the brownie beats you every time.
So I track my food every day because of that exact reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's the same. Your environment wins. Like for me, and this is why, like, I'll say no to a lot of things. Like, hey, just stop over and it's going to be, like the family has happy hour. That's one thing. That's what they call it, happy hour. And it's just down the road from us. And a lot of times I don't go. And because it's not, I've done a lot in a day, but a lot of times I don't go because what's going to happen, I know, is there's going to be a bowl of peanuts, a bowl of this, a bowl of that. And I don't want it. And then there's going to be a couple beers. And I don't want it. So I know that if I go, and this is not me saying I'm weak and I just buckle at everything. I just know the environment wins because we'll be talking and I get bored and I start with one and then I'll eat everything. Every freaking piece of it, even if I hate it. Like pretzels, you throw a pretzel in front of me. I'm not interested in eating a pretzel. But if it's there long enough with a beer or just someone yapping, I'll take one and then I'm done. I am done.
Especially if it's like the end of the day, later in the day, you've been up all day, you worked all day, whatever, and you're a little tired. So maybe now the willpower isn't as strong as it was earlier in the day, or you hadn't slept well for the last few days. And now that temptation, it's a lot more enticing. Or if it's just mindless, you're just having, like you said, mindless conversation and it's just there. And that's something for me. The food thing is my thing where, like, I could be diabetic like that. And that's like, I'm not even saying that lightly. It's just, I'm not just making a joke. It's just like, I can totally see myself going off the rails with eating food.
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah, you love it.
So it's instead of putting myself in the battle, how about we just like don't have the battle? And sometimes that just makes things a lot easier to handle.
So we covered 2 simple things there.
Mm-hmm.
Food and alcohol. So obviously if you're 12, you shouldn't be worried about the alcohol. But that is applicable to just about any part of your life. For example, when you come home, like this is where your environment wins. So who you hang out with is who you're going to be like. You ain't got a choice, right? So if you are hanging around or you're around a like-minded people, for example, you come to this gym, and work out and you got like-minded people, many of the times the activities that occur outside of this is healthy habits, right? So, hey, Eric, you want to go for a golf after the workout on Saturday? Yeah, that'd be great. Let's go golf. And then it's pretty innocent, pretty good, and it keeps you in a good frame. Whereas you might have guys that it's like, it's video games or parties. It's like, that's what we do after. And it's like your environment wins. So that's another reason why you always want to make sure that you choose your friends wisely. And then picking up habits that are good from other friends. Does that make sense? So I just wanted to touch on that. And then the last thing I wanted to say, because it leads into our thing today, is I was just thinking a little bit. And I was looking at, because we're talking about don't take things personal, and there's like two sides to get, like there's two sides to this. And a lot of the times, like I always want people to take responsibility for their actions or what they can control in this game, right? So one of the things I've noticed, and maybe this doesn't make sense yet, but it will after, is like I just got two examples off the top of my head. I got a really good player here. He's not going anywhere though. Okay, he's not going anywhere, but he's actually could be really good. And his dad keeps asking me. He goes like, you know, what about this? What about this? And I've told him exactly what he needs to do, and the kid won't do it, right? So there's a situation where it's like you have the skill, you have the talent, you don't have any desire, right? So as a coach, I just sit there and I go like, hey dad, what else do you want me to say to you? Like I've told you the truth this many times, like you can't start blaming everybody for it. I got another kid that's actually pretty good. Not actually pretty good. He's very good. As he's been told from his coaching how to play. And it's like he doesn't do it, or he does it very intermittently. So it's like when things don't work out for you, like it's clear what they said. Now do it. So like what's the gap, right? So my other point to this was, because this will go into our podcast as well, is like a lot of players look for compliments, which is fine. But without getting the deficiencies pulled out of you, or someone say, Eric, like, let's pick a spot. You can score goals. Like, you're really good at scoring goals. But I'm just telling you, if you want to play on this team or if you want to get to another level, you have to come back to your own end better. I'm using an extreme, right? Ignore it. If you only want to hear that you score goals, you don't become better. You have to take that other piece and put it into play. So without getting feedback on what your deficiencies are, like how in the hell do you get better, right? And then when someone's the questions kids should ask, or parents even, is what do I need to get better at, coach? And get honest feedback. Or what do you see that I could be better at? I don't need you to carve the shit out of me. But if it's like speed, okay, I need to work on my speed. Like someone, like, because there's a way to say things, but some people don't say it the right way, right? So it could be, yeah, you need to be more aggressive. Like, you need to be more aggressive. You're soft as baby shit. Okay. You could take that as like, what an asshole. Or you could take it and say, is that the message that I'm showing out there? Like, I'm soft as baby shit when I play. I need to tighten that up. That's actually a compliment disguised. You know what I mean? So it's taking what people are seeing as a negative, that all it's saying is to work on this, you're going to be better. So I was just thinking about that and work on those things. So I was thinking about that because we're talking about, I was looking at our questions that we had here, and I was just kind of saying, this just reminds me of this. It's like the lead up to a lot of people that, as we go into this, people that take things personally, for example, you're slow, you need to be faster, you can't keep up. That's not personal, it's just an observation. And it's something that you got to say, I mean, maybe it hurts your feelings a little bit or whatever, but it's like, it's just reality. And here's the thing, as you move on to higher levels, it's the honesty that's like, you can't pretend your way through. You're either not fast enough or you are, right? You're not intelligent and don't have hockey IQ, or you do. You're not tough enough. Did I say that one already? Or you're not, like, bottom line.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
So kind of running with that a little bit, most of the people that comment their issues or they have a reason why they didn't make it, And not, and a reason that's a little bit like a dishonest reason, not just like I wasn't good enough or I didn't work hard enough or whatever, but it's like, oh no, like this happened and that's why I didn't make it, where it's almost blaming. A lot of those kids are the kids that were on the margins, right? So kids that maybe they were skilled enough but couldn't put it together in the game, or they couldn't be consistent enough, or whatever the reason is. And I think a lot of these types of people that make statements like that, like, how many times did you not listen to the instruction you were given because you were busy saying, what an asshole? Or how many times did you not improve the thing you needed to improve because you were like willfully blind to the reality of your situation? And that's kind of the, basically what I want to point out with the episode as we start to go through it, is you can take things personally and then not either you'll miss an opportunity because you took something personal that maybe wasn't personal. Maybe you're attributing something being personal that actually wasn't. So you're putting a problem there that wasn't actually there. And so, and things like that, you guys kind of get what I mean. So what I wanted to do is kind of shed the light on that side of things. And that's not to say, like, sometimes things are personal. Like sometimes the GM is out to get you or the coach is out to get you or whatever, but more times than not, that isn't actually the case. And I'm going to start with the story that kind of inspired this for me, unless you have something else. You good?
No, I was going to add to that, but no, go.
Okay, so basically what happened was, and this is a story that's close to us. I'm not putting any names on it or anything, but I was talking with a few guys in here, and we're doing our normal spiel in the summer of, where are you going next year? What team are you playing for? And whatever. And it's very common with kids that aren't playing in the OHL that play junior still. So that would be junior B, junior A. They jump around league to league or team to team because they're trying to look for a better opportunity in another league, or a team recruited them to go. And there's a lot of kids that just end up playing on 3-4 different junior teams when they're not already in the OHL or whatever, because they're chasing an opportunity, whatever. Cool. And that's not necessarily an issue. I'm not saying that like that's a problem that they jump team to team. Sometimes it can be a problem, but what happens a lot of times is some kid will maybe make a team as a fringe player, and then they either get cut from that team partway through the year, or they end up getting traded to another team partway through the year because they weren't good enough on that particular team. So as just a general example, if I'm one of these fringe players and I make a top junior A team in my league, if I play on that team, maybe I'm a fourth liner or a scratch. If I go play on a fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth place team in the same league, maybe now I'm a second liner or a third liner in junior A. And that's pretty common for certain players to bounce around. They'll get more opportunity on one team versus another because maybe they're on a weaker team or whatever. And I think everybody understands that makes sense. So I was talking to a few of our guys about, you know, where they're playing, where they're going. And it was a few kids that had done this. They'd done a jump around a little bit. And it's funny to hear their perspective on what they think about the past teams that they've played on, you know? So the one kid in particular I was talking to, I asked him if he'd be interested in going back to this team he had played for before. And he was like, yeah, like I would definitely be interested in playing there, but it's just like this coach or just this GM that's there that I don't really like, or I don't think that GM likes me, or even going so far as to say they hate me, like they don't like me there and whatever. And at the same time, I'm also talking with the coach or the GM about that particular player, and they're saying like, yeah, we'd love to have them back. You know, they weren't good enough last year or the year before. They went away and developed a little bit more, and now they would be a guy that could come in and play some decent minutes for our team, whatever. So on the kid's side, you're listening to them say, oh, this team hates me, this coach hates me, this GM hates me. And then you flip it to actually talking to the GM or the coach, and they're just like, no, it wasn't that at all. It was just they needed time to develop and get better. And now they're at a point where they could play some minutes on our team, where when they were on the team before, they weren't good enough to handle those minutes. We couldn't give that to them, you know? So my point of that story, and I have countless stories like that. I could be as specific as you want, but my point of that story is a lot of times from the kid perspective, I'm taking this from the player side because I remember being there. You can attribute things as like a personal attack, or, you know, this guy hates me, doesn't like me. I would never play for that guy again because he's a goof. And you put things there that weren't there. And the problem that I have with that is maybe you're limiting an opportunity, or you're closing a door, or you're burning a bridge, or whatever the terminology is you want to use, and you didn't need to do that. So maybe now you're closing yourself off from an opportunity because you decided to take something personal that wasn't necessarily personal. Does that all make sense?
Yeah. So basically what you're saying is, and I get it, because as hockey players, we do take things personal. You don't think I'm good, and you always want to say, screw you, hate your guts. Never, and when you do want me, I'll never play for you. That's basically what people say.
Basically,
that's what a lot of people say. And that makes total sense. And how do I respond with that? I'm like, the thing is I get it. Like, I totally get it because you're pissed off. But what a lot of youth hockey players, not youth hockey players, but junior and up, what you don't understand is that the level of play is big time. And what you have to understand is, like, a lot of the times it's not because they don't like you as a human, or they want to screw you. Now, there are people that don't tell full truths, but at the end of the day, if you go into junior hockey with understanding the game within the game, and the game is they want to put the best team together possible. Because in junior, as opposed to, you know, major bantam or minor bantam hockey, there's more at stake because it's run as a business, right? So people have jobs. The general manager doesn't just get to be there because he's the general manager. He gets to keep his job because he wins. The coach is the same thing. So if they can do any little thing to make their team better, then they do it. So a lot of people that sign, and you know, I'll take it to the next level of the OHL, I'll take it to the NHL, is you think that you're ready, and people are in a rush to get to a certain level, right? You're in a rush. You think that you can do it and just give me the opportunity, but they're looking at it from a different point of view. So you see it as kid, you see that in first, second year kids a lot, is like you're flipping your lid. You hate your coach now. You hate your GM. You hate the organization because they're not giving me the opportunity. But then it's like, if you actually look at the numbers, and maybe you're right, but if you really look at the numbers, it's like, who do you really beat out consistently? And you may think so, but like, there might be gaps in your game. Yeah. So understanding that it's a business, and they got to build their business or build their team long term. Like, they're not looking at just one individual; they're looking at a team. And then what you have to understand is that you might not fit now, but there's still, like, most guys that play junior have 3 to 5 years to play, and you might not fit now, but you might fit later as you develop and become better and usable. Because the worst thing that could happen to a player is it's worse, and you just get a different type of hate on, is when you're not getting the ice. So, do you want to be scratched? That's no fun. Do you want to feel like part of a team? So it's important that you understand. Like, it's just you if you go into this and understand that the business side of it is it's not about I hate your guts, right. Although there are times that happens.
Of course.
And so to have, sorry, I'm just finishing up here. And so you can hold a grudge on someone. Like, there's times where you can, because they've, you know, when would I say that? Or say you can kind of hold a grudge, or I'm not even judging you if you do. I get it. If someone lies to you and says, yeah, we're going to get this, and then they just pull the carpet under you, like, okay, that's a little different. But holding a grudge, even then, it's like, if it's still a good situation, like later in 2 years, it's a good situation to go back and play for that team, and it'll benefit you. It's like, you're only hurting yourself. And then the last thing I would say about that is, don't hold the other thing is, understand that there might be more at play than that one person or that one organization. Like, a coach that doesn't play you might not play you because you don't deserve it. He might be playing you because someone up above is saying, like, you're not playing him. So it's like, you can't really have a hate on for that guy. And they're not going to tell you every little detail. And the other thing I say all the time is, just hang in there, because there's a good chance you outlast your coach.
Bottom line. That's a good point. You know? Well, I mean, you hit a couple things I was going to touch on.
Okay,
anyways,
well, that's okay.
Perfect.
Touch.
No, that's perfect. Like, you set it up well. I one other story that came to mind when you were talking is, there was a kid that maybe a few years ago now, he had one of these situations where he was on a team and then got traded, and he was doing the hold the grudge thing. And I remember talking to him, and he was telling me about the situation, and he was choosing to not go do something that would have helped him just because that one person was involved in the situation. And knowing the person he was talking about, that person, to your exact point, doesn't hate the kid or wasn't trying to screw the kid or whatever, because I had had conversations with that person also, so I got both sides again. But talking to the kid, he's like, I'm never doing that ever because this person is involved and I hate him. And it's just like, okay, like, I understand in the situation from your perspective how you would be upset by that and whatever, but now exactly what you said, it's later, it's different, and this would actually be helpful to you to go and do that. So you're gonna, what's the saying, you're gonna chop off your nose to spite your face, is that the,
you can, is that say
the
saying? That
so he was doing something that was actually detrimental to his own development because this person he didn't like was there. And it's just, it's a little bit of immaturity for sure, a little bit of, I understand your position, but once again, if you can just understand going into it that there's more at play. And that was the other thing I was going to touch on, is there's a lot of situations and circumstances that can be explained by things going on behind the scenes that you don't see, you know? So from the GM side of it, maybe they're working on a trade with another team and they've been working on it for a year and a half before you were even on the team, and they trade for somebody, and now instead of you being the third line guy, now you're the fourth line guy and maybe getting scratched sometimes. It's like, that has very little to do with you. It was a situation that was happening already for a year and a half that you didn't know about, you know? But that's a situation where you could go into the, wow, he screwed me because he said I was going to be third line and now I'm fourth line getting scratched or whatever, you know? And then you start to get that bad, that sour taste. And I know we're focusing more on junior age players because this is where that makes sense for players to have that attitude, because those things can happen. But you never know, like, what is the ownership saying? What are the agents saying? What are the coaches saying? What are the team management people saying? What's the goal? What are they working on behind the scenes that you don't know about? So as a player, you have to think of it like you're an employee, you know? And sometimes the owner of the business doesn't tell you all the things that are going on because it's not necessary. Like, it's not appropriate for you to know all of the backside details of how the business is run. You know, and if you can start to think of it or frame it more that way, and this is maybe something that parents can help their kids understand too. It's like, if you're somebody who works on the line at a manufacturing facility, the guy that is the plant manager isn't coming and telling you everything that's going on. You know, it's like, because your job is to do this thing on the line.
Yeah, put that nut.
Yeah,
nut
put that thing there, and that's what you're supposed to do. And if you move that up to a hockey team, it's the same thing. Like, you guys are the troops that are on the front line. Your job is to get pucks to the net, or your job is to finish your hits, or your job is to be a centerman and do the XYZ. Your job isn't to know what I'm doing as the coach when we're not at the rink together. Like, that's not your job to know that. And I think kids, they don't realize that. And when you don't realize that, then you can start to take things as personal because you're the one that is in the center of your own little world and you don't have the zoom out skill yet. You know?
Yeah, 100%.
So that's kind of what I wanted to outline first, is like, you need to understand going in, like you said, is not everything is personal, because if you take things personally that aren't necessarily personal, you might be closing an opportunity that actually will help you later. And if you're one of those guys that's on the margins, like I said, you need every opportunity you can get, because if you're a guy that could either make it or not, you're one of those borderline guys, then you don't want to burn a bridge or close a door or limit yourself from an opportunity because you feel like holding a grudge against a particular individual. Like, it's of no benefit to you outside of the circumstances where that's actually what's going on and you're 100% sure that that's what's happening.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I was just going to say, on the flip side of that, is it's important to understand too, is like, when you have, it's easy to have a hate on for you. Even in youth hockey, right? Because guys do jump around and stuff like that. It's like, you don't like it if you're not getting ice or things aren't going your way somewhere. But there's so many players that just say, okay, I'm leaving this team and I'm going somewhere else. And it's like, that's okay now. It wasn't okay when someone didn't treat you exactly the way you wanted, and you're going to hold a grudge or take it personally for the rest of your life. But it's okay when you do it because it's better for you. And then the decision that was better for you, it was the same when the team made that same decision because it was just better for the team. Right. So, and then it flips again, is that a lot of times coaches and GMs want, and they always want the things to be good for them. And if a kid says, I want to leave, then I can't believe this. Well, you didn't treat them the best in the first place. So it's like, it goes around. But the bottom line is, whether you're a coach, a GM, a player, a parent, to understand that, you know, it's people just want to make the best team, and sometimes you're not there yet or whatever, and it's not something that you got to sit there and say. It's not a personal attack. It's simply that at this point we feel there's someone that could play better or can make our team better. So
yeah. So what I wanted to do next is, this is for the players. I wanted to run through some specific examples. So I want you to put your coach hat on, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to tee up an example, and I want you to explain how it would not be personal against a particular player.
How it's not personal.
Yeah. So, okay. So here's the first example I'll give you. I'll tee it up for you, and then we'll run through these. So the first one I would say is, if you feel like a coach is picking on you. So if I'm a player on the team and I feel like the coach just has it out for me. So I want you to play the coach side and explain from the coach perspective how that, as the coach, it is not intended for that to be a personal thing, but maybe I'm seeing it as personal, or I'm taking it as personal when it isn't really. So the reason I want to do this is so that, because all these that I'm going to go through are common things that players think are happening to them. And I'm going to try to give I want you to try to give the flip side of why it's not personal. And then hopefully it can help kids or the parents who are talking to the kids, give them an understanding of the other side of what's happening. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure.
So that, let's go with
what's
that
the first question
one.
Again?
So if you feel like the coach is picking on you, so I'm the player, I feel like you're picking on me, Andy.
Okay.
From your perspective as the coach, how could it be you're not picking on me?
Got it.
Yeah.
My perspective is that as you as a player, I've tried other ways and it doesn't work. So I feel like I need, I'm just an example. I feel like I need to be harder on you or center you out more or be more direct with you than most players, because the first way, the nice guy explaining things gently or whatever, or just letting you not be accountable, doesn't work. So I need to do that to you. So what I would say to that player is, like, before you start saying the coach is picking on me, take a deep look at yourself, because it's not up to the coach to make sure you like him. It's up to you to make sure the coach plays you. And you don't have to be best friends, but you have to do your job. So there's many players that I've coached and trained where it's like they're hard to read. They drive me nuts because, like I said, you talk to them and it's like there's no response. But they do it, or they do something and you got to tell them 10 times. So I noticed that there are players that some need a little bit of love, but some of them need, dude, Eric, this is what you're going to do. I need you to do it like this. Do you understand? And you have to get that response. And being more direct just is the way to do it sometimes. So number one, the coach is probably not picking on you. But he's probably doing it because he needs, like, here's the thing, right? So I've had conversations with several players in junior with their parents, and that's what happens is when things don't go their way, a kid gets centered out. Like, for me, if my son or my players that come up to me and say, yeah, the coach called me out right in front of the whole team, I'd say, yeah, and? But some parents don't like that. They feel like centering out is a bad thing. It's like, well, what if that's what your kid needs? And I've seen that where, you know, because maybe you're a type of kid, or you're the player that you're just going to do your own thing and it'll be fine, but you want to play in the NHL. And I'm here as a coach to help you get there. And I know that you need this. And I've tried my ways and it ain't working. So I need to be hard on you because I see it and I know it and you respond better. So I'm actually doing you a favor by what you call picking on you, right? And then there's other guys that, you know, here's the other thing I would say. There's a saying that goes, it's better to be bad attention. bad attention is better than no attention at all. That's why you see people do a lot of things that are behavioral, because it's at least someone's yelling at them or kicking them in the ass. So at least you know I'm here. And when a coach doesn't know you're there, or they're indifferent to you, and they treat you like this, it's like, yeah, okay. Like, it's not picking on you. That's ignoring you, because there's nothing there I want to share with you anymore. That's the bigger problem. So, because if a coach is picking on you, not saying like I mean, hey, you know, I'm going to just say it for what it is. If a coach, if you walk in the room, a coach says, like, you're fat, man. Like, I actually don't think that's picking on me. I think that's, okay, you're, it could be in a sense, but it's like, you need to drop some weight to be a better player. That's how I would take it, you know? So anyways, the thing is, if you're ignored, that's the big problem. I am fine getting picked on because that means that you actually, if you're picking on me, like as far as my play goes, and you're hard on me, that just simply means that you think I've got something.
Yeah, you're putting some energy into me.
You're putting some energy into me. Yeah. You think I could contribute. You want something the best for me, maybe. Maybe you're just a dick, but there's a reason you're picking on me because you want more because there is more. And if you don't, then it's like, I don't even know where I stand.
Yeah. So. Better to be punished than be ignored kind of thing.
There it is. It's a beautiful word.
It's good, eh? Yeah. So the only thing I'll say to that is, of course, the example I'm giving is not when a coach is actually picking on you. So like this is what people need to, because I can already hear the comments.
Yeah, I know.
So it's like if I'm saying if the coach is not actually picking on you, but you think they are, that's the example I'm giving. I'm not giving the one where the coach is actually an asshole picking on you. Like that's a different situation. So I'm giving the specific example where you're interpreting someone is picking on you when they're not. That's what I'm giving, because that is actually most of the case when you're dealing with a coach. You get the odd time where the coach is actually an asshole and they are picking on you. That's not the example I'm talking about. So the only thing I'm going to add to that is when you're on a team, and this is, again, I'm talking more about like junior age, because when you're younger, you would hope that the adult is more of an adult and they're understanding that I'm dealing with younger kids and they need to be able to navigate that better, and their communication style you would hope would be better, even though sometimes it's not. But this answer I'm gearing more towards kids that are that like maybe 15, 16 and up into junior hockey and beyond. It's up to you as the player to kind of conform to what the coach is asking or what the team is asking or what the organizational philosophy is. Because if you don't do that, then you're the one that doesn't fit in. So a lot of, I think parents are more guilty of this, or kids, because hockey players have this self-centered thing when they start playing junior where they think the whole world is about them. And it is not the coach's job to change so that you're happy. It's nice if they do, but it's not, they don't have to do that, and they shouldn't be expected to do that. You're trying to fit into a team structure. So if you feel like the coach has it out for you, then to your point, maybe you need to do some self-analysis. Like, what am I doing? Like, what behaviors am I doing? What ownership can I take to make this situation better? Because I feel like my coach doesn't like me, or my coach is picking on me, or whatever the situation is. So when you're in that, those older age groups in particular, it's on you to make sure that you're fitting with the structure. And sometimes you're going to have to do things you don't want to do. Like, you're going to have to play a role you don't want to play, because everybody wants to be the skill guy. Everybody wants to be the goal scorer. But if your coach says, hey, you're not that, that means that coach doesn't think you're that. So it does you no good to go away and say, what a dick. Like, I'm going to keep trying to score my goals because this is how I play. It's like, you're wrong. Even if you're right, you're wrong, because he's the coach and he gets to pick, you know? So it's kind of on you whether the coach is, to your point, picking on you, ignoring you, or fill in the blank with however that coach is behaving towards you that you don't like. It's on you to change, to conform to what the team is asking or what the team needs. Maybe that takes a conversation with the coach. Maybe that takes a conversation with the GM or whatever. But you have to do some self-analysis and not just wallow in self-pity about the fact that you feel like your coach doesn't like you, because these are fixable problems. It's not something that you need to just sit and accept for the rest of the season, or say, I need to get traded or whatever, because that's typically the path that most players will go down when they feel that that's what's going on. You know what I mean?
100%. Well, the other side to this also is like to me, picking on someone is like, that's a interesting word, because like, what does that mean? Like, is coaching picking on someone? Because I've seen this.
This is exactly what I'm saying, right?
This is like, you pull a guy off and you say, okay, here's the X's and O's, and you didn't do the X, you did the O. And you've done it four times. Like, dude, I need you to do this. And if the kid's like, inside, he's saying, well, I just can't get this right. Or he goes to his parents, he goes, yeah, I'm just always doing it wrong. And dad goes, well, he's got to burr up his ass about you. It's like, no, he's coaching you. That's what you call coaching. I've seen this several times with parents. You've seen this with guys that we train. It's like, picking on. No, that's not picking. That's coaching. That's what you want a coach to do, right? Then also, what is your kid doing? Because I've seen this, man. They don't like this. This was my point when we started. That's what I was talking about. Is the kid that comes in every day? We start at 3:00, and they comes in at 3:02. Yeah. You're late, man.
Yeah.
You're late.
Yeah.
Now you bug me. You're late. Why aren't you here 5 minutes early? If your parents are driving you, can you ask them please get you here earlier? If there's nothing you can do about it, then okay, I understand because you're 12. But if you're 16, 17, 18, 19, 25, it starts at 3:00. You need to be here early so we can get ready to go. Now you're bugging me consistently. What else is it? Maybe when I'm explaining something, you're not looking at me and it's like, I have to explain again because you go, what do we do? It's like, now you're bugging me. Now, like, you're bugging me. So all these things add up. And I remember there's one guy in particular as a kid started with me, and the kid was pissing around in line. And he was a nice kid, but he was in line just doing drills and stuff. And he was like jabbing guys and just like, but he thought it was fun. I said, stop. Like, that bugs me. Told dad. Dad goes, nah, it doesn't sound like him. Okay. And then there was several events that went on. It's like, it's never him. Like, okay. So that is a very good example that this guy gets picked on. And then when you pull this guy aside to say this, and this, and dad's watching, this is what happens, right? Dad watches and goes, yeah, they don't like him. It's just anything he does wrong. What do you want? Do you want compliments for everything you do right? You don't get compliments for doing things right. Like when I go wake up in the morning and I pee and I hit the toilet, my wife goes, did you hit the toilet? Yeah. She doesn't clap and give me a big hug. You're supposed to piss in the toilet, right? And when I brush my teeth, or my kids brush their teeth, maybe when they're 6 months old or when they get their first tooth, they brush their teeth. You don't cheer and say, my God, you did such a great job brushing your teeth. You're supposed to brush your teeth. But when you don't, and you talk to me this close, and you almost knocked me out because you could slay a dragon with your breath, now you're going to get coached. Like, dude, you need to brush your teeth.
Yeah.
And what am I doing? Hurting you or helping you? I'm helping you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
This is coaching.
Right. Well, this kind of tails into the next one I was going to talk about with kids that feel like they're getting bullied. And again, I'm not talking about the case where your kids are actually getting bullied. I'm talking about cases where the kid feels like they're being bullied, but they might not be. I'm explaining the other side. So that could be from other kids on the team, particularly. And what I have found in my experience as a coach in these environments is the kids that complain about other kids picking on them, a lot of times are kids that cause shit. A lot of times are the kids that cause shit, or they are doing something that is separating themselves from the group in some way.
Oftentimes. Right? Oftentimes.
So again, I'm not talking about the case where kids are just being assholes and bullying, because obviously that needs to be handled appropriately. So if we put that case aside where it's not clear what's going on, then what I would say in those situations where you feel like kids are constantly picking on your kid or whatever, it's another one of those self-analysis things where instead of mom and dad saying, hey, that doesn't sound like my kid, maybe it's like, okay, well, like, what are they saying to you? Like, what is the thing that they're picking on you for? You know, if it's, hey, your glasses are stupid. Okay. Maybe that's actually bullying now. But if it's, well, I try to do this, and this, and then three of them start yelling back at me, and it's like, well, yeah, but the thing you did to them first is what was annoying. And now they're ganging up on you because you're being a pain in the ass, you know? So not good that they're ganging up on you, but there's something you can fix there. You know, and I find that a lot of times in the team environment, this is very, I'm giving a very specific set of circumstance here. In a team environment where one kid ends up coming and saying, these kids are picking on me, a lot of times it's the one kid is doing something that is separating himself from the group or getting on other kids' nerves or whatever. And then kids will start to make little pockets that start to gang up on another kid. That's what I've found most of the time in a class setting or in a team group setting with the bullying stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I know this is a really tricky one. So okay. I'm going to go two different ways because I want to answer it, as you said, as a coach. Yeah. But first of all, I'm going to go as a player. I remember one of my good friends that got traded to us. He was drafted to the New York Rangers. So he got drafted. He ended up being my right winger, 6'5". Great, great guy. Actually, no, not a great guy. To me, he was a great guy. But he was geeky. So he was the smart guy. He was the guy that wore a toque as soon as it got a little bit cold, which it was weird to us. He would bring his books on the bus. He would do his homework. Got the Scholastic Player of the Year. What a dummy. So he didn't fit in what you call that hockey model, right? He was different. So guys, not that they picked on him, but it was like always someone always had a comment.
Always a shot.
Yeah. Always a comment. And he was smart enough not to care. And it's like, you know, and you know, if you're gonna carve someone because they're smart, well, I mean, you're not too bright.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's a situation where that can get out of hand. And you know, to me, bullying, and I forgive me, guys, if I'm not politically correct, but for me, bullying would be when he opens his books and you throw his books on the ground and say something like really, really, really derogatory. But not to me, it's not like, oh, like saying something smart ass and you know, it's a little chuckle. But that's just me. Like, I'm not real sensitive. So, you know, people can say whatever they want about me. So now, as a coach, which I would say is the same thing as being a parent, is your team are your kids, right? You're, if you're a dad, your kids are your team. It's the same thing. You're the leader of the team. You need to address anything that could be. You have to have a pulse on your team. So you have to be able to know the guys. You got to be able to know that every time I say it to Eric, I can see the body language. It's not fair to him anymore. It's like you guys are crossing the line a little bit. So I need to go number one to my leadership or someone that I feel is crossing the line. And I've done it with my son. So that's good there, bud. That's enough. Not with his team, but like in life. He did it with you the other day. He was saying something to you. Actually, he was joking around with you.
I don't remember.
Anyways, he said something in response because you guys piss around a lot.
Yeah.
And I said, okay. That's he wasn't picking on you, but it's like, to me, it just crosses the line of being derogatory.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know what I mean? There's a line of respect that you cannot,
for sure.
And you didn't even take it that way, so that doesn't matter. Yeah. But for me,
I don't even remember what you're talking about.
Yeah. But for me, it's like I don't want that. So that's my pulse on the team, my pulse on my kid. That's what you have to do. So like number one, go to your leadership or the kid that you feel is getting a little out of hand and say, listen, I know what's going on. Like, I'm not saying it in a bad way. Like, Eric, I know what's going on. Rob is the geek on the team, but he's a good player. He's your teammate. And, of course, you can tease him a little bit about being a brainiac. It's all good fun. But there's certain things that cross the line. As a team, we don't get closer by crossing lines. We're teammates by maybe saying nothing or keeping it really, really light. Let him be who he is so you can be who you are, blah, 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 blah. Then I would also go to Robbie. That was the guy's name, Rob. And I'd pull him aside, just like not even like in a place where we're just walking out. Hey, Rob, come here. Hey, listen, keep doing your homework. Keep doing that shit. And tell him why it's good. And you know, listen, are you good? Like, I know the guys ride you a little bit. Are you good? And find out where he's at. Because he could sit there and just shake his head and say, like, no, I'm not good. It sucks. Right? It's an issue now.
Yeah, now it's an issue.
And it's like, so for the people that say, like, I'm not a bully guy, right? Like, I'm not into this stuff. But it's just, to me, it's common sense. If you got a teammate that it's actually you're hurting him or you're making him feel like it's not good and he feels bad for doing what he wants in his life, then that's a line that shouldn't be crossed. You need to help that guy and to teach your team. And it's just better.
Yes. And so I think this kind of goes into a good... Sorry, go.
No. And I was saying, and if Robbie goes, yeah, I just, like, every time I do something, it's like, okay, you're 20 years old, you're 6'5". Like, you're going to have to tape an aspirin to it a little bit.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
you gotta toughen up just a little bit. Like, they're not, like, don't take everything so personal.
And this is, you're leading into a little bit of the parenting side of it too, not just the coaching. It's like, if you have a kid who you feel like they're on the receiving end of the kind of bullying that isn't an issue, the kind of where you say they're being bullied, but it's that the kids don't know where the line is yet and they're poking fun and doing that kind of stuff. I'm not talking about the serious bullying where the kid is actually going into depression now and like we're not crossing that line. Then what, because I see this with kids all the time, it's like you need to be able to identify the quirky parts that might be the target. So if it's something that is actually you feel like might be an issue, it's like, again, it's you take responsibility for your own behavior. Or if your kid is young, help them understand why they might be getting made fun of for a particular thing. It's like, well, you carry a stuffed animal around everywhere you go, right? It's like you're asking for it, man. You're asking for it. And now, if you really want to take the stuffed animal around everywhere you go, then you're going to have to take the heat, man.
People will look at you funny.
They're going to look at you funny, and you have to be able to handle that. And if not, get rid of the stuffed animal, and they'll stop. Like, you know, like life sorts itself out real quick like that. You know what I mean? So if this is a situation where you feel like you're being bullied again, it's like, again, if it's not the serious causing an issue bullying, then you go down the path you just talked about as the coach or as the parent. You're asking if it's actually an issue. Now we need to address it. But if it's that borderline, the kid seems to be getting made fun of, or there's always somebody who's always got something to say, then let's analyze the situation. And it's like, are you doing something that's good, whether it's harmless or you're being a pain in someone else's ass? Are you doing something to open the door for comments to fly? Because there's always, in a team environment, especially when you're a teenager or beyond, like everyone is looking for something to rip on. It's 50% of the time you're together. That's what's happening. Everybody's ripping on everybody. So if it's not like, hey, develop some thick skin, kid. If it's not that lesson, then it's, okay, what are you doing that's making people chirpy all the time about stuff? You know, like, again, solvable problem. And it might not be that your teammates are trying to hurt your feelings, right? You know, Timmy's such an asshole. He always has something to say to me. It's like, well, maybe Timmy just does this with everybody and you're a little more sensitive than other kids. It could be that. You know what I mean? Because it happens all the time with, like you said, you're talking with in here, 50% of the conversation is somebody talking shit.
Oh, 100%.
Like that's 50%. So if you can't handle
that. If you're the short guy on the team.
Yeah, you're getting it.
There's not one thing you do. There's not one thing you do in that dressing room on the bus with the team and environment. Every joke is it's about how short you are. Yeah. And it is what it is. Yeah. And I don't know, like, that's a lot of people would say you should never do any. You never have any fun either. But if someone cries, is they're actually hurt by it, it's like, I'm sorry, man. We'll start telling you you're tall. I'm sorry. No more short jokes because this guy's, or, you know.
So that's the point with the bullying thing for me. It's like, aside from the actual serious, it's an issue bullying now, which you should be able to identify that as an adult, or if you're a kid that's older and can handle it yourself. Aside from that situation, then it's just like, okay, guys, like, maybe they're not trying to hurt your feelings. Like, maybe it's okay. You know?
I think a lot of the times, like I think a lot of people that would make a comment on this, like, I'm not generalizing, but I guess I am, is that there's a, and maybe this is what people think is bad, but there's a culture in hockey unlike anything else. It's like things that, like, I don't think in corporate events necessarily, maybe, like, if you go to a hotel, you don't put leaners on someone's doors.
Yeah.
Right. So people that don't know what that is you bucket of water, you lean it on the door, you knock on it, walk, they open the door, there's water all over it. Some people would be like, what the, like, lose your mind. But that's like, this is the culture of hockey. It's like nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
And it's mostly in good fun.
So, yeah.
And then there's extremes, 100%.
Yeah. Next one is kind of, I guess this is more for the junior kids too, or maybe not, if you got cut or you got traded from a team. So let's say I'm a 13-year-old AAA. I played AAA for 2 years and then I got cut this year from the AAA team. Or I played a year of junior and then I got traded to a worse team that I didn't want to go to. You can walk away from that thinking, oh, we got a new coach this year and he must just hate me. Or maybe it was the same coach as last year and I feel like this coach doesn't like me or whatever. Same thing with the trades. It's like, yep, this GM, they hate me. They think I'm no good. They think I'm shitty. What's kind of the flip side of that on the coaching end or on the GM side that you'd say for a player?
So as a player, and I've been on every side of this, right? I've been the sought after guy, like, and this is in junior too, sought after, like, can't wait to have you, love you so much. Guy gets fired, the next guy doesn't like me at all in any way. And then I've had mediocre, like, yep, I'm one of the guys or whatever. And when you feel like someone doesn't like you, like as a coach or a GM, it's a interesting one. It's not easy. I don't wish that on anyone. But hindsight, like, you go and do your thing, and hindsight is number one, is, you know, look at what you are doing first or what you could be doing to contribute that. Now, I know for a fact, because I'm not better than anybody. I understand this. It's like there's kids that just when they walk in, it's like, oh geez, everything about them, body language, they talk like, right?
Yeah.
You're ready to go, buddy?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, okay, I'm having a hard time already.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's, I've been on all sides, so I get it. But getting traded, cut, whatever, number one, it's just a decision. It's looking at, like, look at the business of it. Everyone's trying to have the best team. Everyone's trying to have the best team. So, and as a responsibility for the coach and organization and general manager, that is your responsibility to put the best team. So whether you're my son's best friend, you're my nephew, whatever, truly, if there's someone better, that person deserves to be on the team before you. It has nothing to do with how much I love you. It has nothing to do with that. It shouldn't. Does it happen? Of course. Now you could say, you know, I'm good in the room. Okay. But I don't care about your room. Like, right. So, and then a lot of times it doesn't, like, you can't figure it out because it's just a fit that sometimes a coach doesn't like you on the team, like someone else, likes a different personality. You might score 50 goals for me, but I want someone that hits 50 guys a game or a year. Like it's just that thing. So, and then the other side is always look at like what can be good about it. Always look at what could be good about it. So if you got traded and you're on a first place team, got traded to a different team, is it all bad? Not necessarily. Okay. It's a new opportunity. It's a new opportunity to show that you made a mistake. It's a new opportunity to take a team that's not as good and make them, you know, you get more ice maybe, and you take them on your back and you turn it around. Actually, there was a kid this year on Charlie's team, Max Nemestikov. He was his first year and a half in Sarnia. He was a third overall pick, I think. And he's a smaller guy and can skate like the wind, and he can score goals, you'd think. So his first year or year till he got traded to Guelph, he was like okay. Like the numbers were okay. Nothing to get excited about. So in my opinion, there's probably coach, you know, it's just a coach player. I don't like it. There's something about you I don't like. I'm not getting the opportunity. It comes to Guelph, he got, I think, almost 40 goals and played great. Hit guys, like he was like a like awesome man, awesome, and he fit into the room, right, and all that stuff. So he took that as a new fresh opportunity. So sometimes bad is good. Yeah. And then you look at getting traded, it's like the other thing is you just don't know. You don't know what's going to be good and what's bad, so you have to look at your opportunities and just make them good. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just make them good somehow.
Yeah, I got a story I wanted to tell too. I'm not going to say the kid, but I remember a few years ago, a guy that we had in here, if I'm being honest, not a great hockey player, but extremely committed, worked real hard, extremely committed, worked hard, was friends with all the guys that were playing junior, and he wanted so badly to be in that hockey player kind of lifestyle. And I remember a few junior teams, they had called to ask me about him because he had a borderline midget year where it's like, okay, maybe this kid's got like something. And I'm not saying he made the team because of me. I'm just saying I went to bat, like talk, and I was like, man, he's a great kid. Like I can't speak to how much he's going to produce or anything, but he's a good kid. He works hard. He's committed and he'll do what you ask. That's basically what I said. So he ended up making a junior team, not because of what I said, but because of a lot of factors about him,
though.
Right? So he ended up making this junior team. A few months into the season, as junior teams do, more guys come back, lineups get changed around. And I remember talking to the one GM that ended up signing him, and he was just like, man, I got to cut this kid because he was the fringe guy and he was the last one on the chopping block, and got to cut the kid. And I said, yeah, like you gave him time. Like you gave him a shot for sure. Like it's cool. And of course, you know, the kid's going to be devastated because these are all his buddies and whatever. And so the kid gets cut. And what was beautiful about this situation is there was good communication on all sides. Like the GM communicated well with him and he knew exactly where he stood. He knew exactly why, what was happening and all that. So he didn't get blindsided, which a lot of times that can be the issue, is like the kid gets blindsided and now he feels like you hate him. But the communication line was there. So the kid was crushed, but he understood. It was like, I'm just not good enough right now. And a lot of times when kids get traded or they get cut, they're unwilling to accept the fact that maybe you're just not at the level you need to be at yet. Instead, they deflect to coach is an asshole. They don't see that I'm better than this, or I could play in that position better than that guy, or whatever. They go to those types of reasons and they miss out on maybe you're just not there yet. The type of player you want to be, maybe you're not good enough at that yet to be on this particular team this time at this, like for this year. And so my point of that story is this kid ended up dropping down to another junior team and he ended up doing fine. And he's still trying to chip his way back up to play on another junior team. And he's good. He's got a good attitude about it and he's stuck with it. He's still working. He's still working on his game, trying to get better. He didn't just shut down and go home and pack it up and say, this is bullshit. I got screwed. He didn't do that. And he might never make that team again. It may never happen where he makes that team again. But he might, because he's still doing the work to get better. And so the reason I wanted to tell that story is because, like I said, a lot of kids, they'll just go to asshole screwed me, and they don't reflect on maybe you're just not good enough yet. And I think that is the trick, especially even at the younger ages. Like the 13-year-old that played a couple years of AAA and then gets cut, and then, you know, for the rest of their life they were a AAA player that got screwed. And it's like, well, no, you played 2 years when you were 10 and 11 and then maybe you weren't good enough to play anymore, and that can be the reality. But if you ignore reality, then you don't fix your problem. You can't ignore it forever. You know, eventually it comes out in the wash. And so that's the only thing I would add on to that is you need to be very honest about what's actually going on in a situation where you get cut or traded. Maybe it's not someone's out to get you. Maybe it's just you're not good enough.
But it could be for the betterment of your betterment. I don't know.
Yeah,
the
betterment. Yeah.
Betterment of your development.
Yeah.
So like, as you were talking about that, I just thought of two real quick things. Okay. Two guys are going to get drafted this year from the London Knights. Their name is Oliver Bonk and Barkey will too, but Easton Cowan. Okay, they're gonna get drafted if they're not, like they are. So they were drafted the same year as my son, and the first year of junior, which is very common in London, is that your picks go and play junior B for a year. Well, that sucks. That's you don't listen. You don't get drafted at number 21 or 26 or 20, 30 overall, okay, with the intention of going to play junior B. No one's excited about that. And the London Knights, I'm going to play for London Knights. Golf Storm, I get to play for the Golf Storm. That's all you care about. So, typical fashion of London Knights, the Hunters, is they said, no, you need to develop and be based. I don't know the words. Okay, I'm speaking for them, is you need to go develop because let's say there's deficiencies in your game or it's going to be better for your development. And we'll call you up for some, but this is where you need to get good. And I would say that most people are like pissed about that, but it's not what happens to how you handle it. So going down there and playing junior B for the year, there's not the glory. Your ego is that's a blow to your ego. But they learned and they practiced with the team. They played junior B, practiced with the team, got called up for some games, and they were in that system doing the right development. Are they better off today than they were if they didn't get ice last year in their first possible year? They're better off. They're going to go very, very high because they got an excellent system with excellent coaches, and they had the right attitude. So the thing is that you can call your agent and say, what's this shit, right? And this is where parents, and this is where the system itself, but like parents and agents need to have the right attitude about it and say, like, this is actually going to be good for your development.
Yeah, it's part of the process.
You know, because you're like the reality of it, most 16-year-old kids are not ready to play in the Ontario Hockey League. And I mean most. And if they do, it's just like good for them, I guess.
Well, even if they do, normally it's with limited opportunity. Well,
of course.
Right?
And then you get the guys that get, you know, 40 points their first year and they beat people up. It's like, okay, that's then you belong. And there's certain guys that can play that belong, but it's like most kids are not ready for that socially, mentally, and just from development. So it's embracing the bad. Like, it's good you got drafted high. It's bad that you got... No, it's not necessarily bad. It's good because the Hunters are thinking long-term for you. They want to make this team good for the next 4 years, not just make you happy today. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I think it's easy to think that they forgot about you or something too, right?
Absolutely.
It's, like, it's so funny to see, like... I was talking to another one of our guys, the Division I commit, and he's just had his played his first year of junior, and he's talking about, well, you know, I got to go to, you know, a team where I'm going to be the go-to guy. And it's like, even as a Division I commit, the odds of you going to a high-end junior A team or junior team, if you, like, let's say you go to the USHL or BC or in the OJ or whatever, the odds of you being a go-to guy at 17 are, like, non-existent almost, even as a Division I commit, because it's not easy. Now, just because you got drafted or just because you're a Division I commit, like, you're not, it's not an easy time now to play junior, you know? And I remember I was talking to Charlie about this too. I was like, man, if you drop down and played in junior B, like, it's not an easy game, you know? It's still a hard game that you have to play. Like, you can't, if you think you're going to go there and just float and you're going to get all these points and all this great stuff, it's like, no. If you go down and bring your exact game that you play in the OHL there, you'll dominate. But if you go down there and you just think, well, this is going to be easy, it's not actually easy. Like, everyone that plays is a decent player, you know? So a lot of times guys...
It doesn't change when a kid gets older either, right?
Right.
Like you could be a 16-year-old in the OHL and then go into your second year and say, well, it's going to be easier now, and then you realize it's not. Well, you have to bring the hard work every single day.
Exactly.
There's just no way around it.
Right. So if you're that 16-year-old and, you know, they drop you to junior B, and then, you know, it's your second year and they send you back to junior B, it's like, well, they think I'm no good. They don't think I'm going to be able to play for them. I should start looking at other things. They forgot about me. I hate this team. I want to get a trade. And it's like, dude, you're 16. You're 17.
You want to know the truth about the OHL? The truth is you got drafted even as a first rounder. And no one's going to forget about you, but you got drafted as a first or second or third round, whatever round. Let's say you're an early pick. They didn't draft you for today.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're almost insignificant to the team.
That's what...
Unless you bring an element.
Yeah, you're the exception. The exception.
Right.
Yes.
Like, if you have, and getting 25 fights that year, you brought an element, right?
Yeah.
If you got 50 goals, you brought
that
an element.
That is the exception.
But most guys, no one really is counting on you till you're 18 or 19 years old. And it's about winning, it's 19. Yeah. So that's the, and so it's the same with the NHL. It's like, you know, like, people are talking about Shane Wright, like, this is a, you know, like, what is happening with this guy? It's like, dudes, like, actually, want to hear a funny story? Charlie showed me a picture of Bushy that plays with Charlie. They showed the great... I didn't even recognize Bushy in this picture, but he was... Him and Shane Wright were at grade 8 at graduation in their suits. And Shane Wright looks exactly the same as he does right now. Same height and everything. I didn't recognize Bushy. I said, who's he with? He goes, oh, it's Bushy. So he was a man early. This is a tough thing himself. He's got all this pressure. Like, he's a star. But now he's realizing that, okay, it's like, now things are catching up. And he's still a very good hockey player. So, like, this big thing about, like, oh, he's a bust. No, he's not a bust. Now he's got to learn how to play.
With what he's got.
With what he's got, yeah. In the best league in the world. So he might not make the Seattle Kraken, like, last year. He didn't. And he might not this year. And it's okay. Because he's at 19 or 18. He's young. But if he makes the National Hockey League and is the player that they were expecting him to be, at 22, that's all you ever want.
Mm-hmm.
So no one forgot about you.
Well, and this is it's so important for parents to be able to relay this message to their 15, 16-year-old, because they don't know. How are they supposed to know? Like, I had a conversation with a couple of kids that got drafted here, and they were talking about another guy that got drafted, and they're like, I can't understand how this guy got drafted. Like, I don't understand. And I'm like, what do you mean? Well, he's no good. Like, he's not good at all. Like, how could they have picked him and not this other guy that is better? And I'm like, well, maybe that other guy is better right now to you, you know? But if we go, you know, point for point, pick any skill, and we make the comparison, who's going to be better in 3 years? Not today, you know? So this other guy, like, he's 6'5". This other defenseman you're talking about is not even touching 5'11". okay, there's a big future favor for that guy that's 6'5". You know, he can shoot a puck. He still looks like a little boy. He's got like all of these things because, to your point, it's not about I'm going to get drafted at 16, jump into the OHL, and now I'm there. It's like, no, like you got drafted, you have an opportunity, and maybe in 3 years you'll be a good player there. That's the thought process from the adults making the choices, you know? So it's important to try to keep that perspective or understand that perspective when you're young, and kids won't know that. So that's why it's important that you have mom and dad or whatever to help explain that to you, you know? Yeah.
Well, that's why I laugh. Like people will say something about an early pick that a 16-year-old, right? It's like, wow, he's a first round pick and he had like 9 points. Yeah. He's not very good. Eh? It's like, you don't understand.
You don't understand. Because everybody, they think of Connor McDavid. That's the thing that everyone goes to. So I had a few other examples, but I think people get the point. So we'll jump to...
We could beat the dead beat horse. The
shit. I have like 5 other ones we could talk about, but whatever. We could be here for 2 more days. I want to flip it to the parents a little bit now. Because parents are just as guilty as players of taking things personally.
Well, I would say parents... put that on their kids more. Like if a kid has a shit attitude about things or take things personally, it's probably because the parents help with that.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, you've had more conversations than I have with parents where it's like they're like personally offended by something that happened with their 12-year-old's team or something.
Listen,
you know?
It doesn't stop. And I'm sure parents in the NHL with their kids playing in the NHL, think the coach is an idiot.
Exactly. So this is why I wanted to
He's
flip
He's not
to,
an idiot, by the way.
I wanted to flip to parents because this is exactly... They do the same shit, but they're adults, so it's less excusable. So I'm going to... I'll list the ones that I have here, and then you can kind of attack it however you want. So a couple of the things we're going to talk about is like parent cliques, where it's like if you feel like you're... As the parents, you're being excluded from like the team club parents, whatever, you know? You think your coach is an idiot or the coach is screwing your kid or not giving them opportunity or singling them out or whatever from the parent perspective. And then things that maybe you feel like aren't fair, like playing time or, my kid's not on the power play or penalty kill or these types of deals. I cannot tell you how many conversations I've seen, heard, or had with parents where they're like deeply, like I can feel their emotional distress about the situation that's going on when it's not appropriate. And I'm not saying like when it is appropriate, hey man, like you want to protect your kid and that's fine. But there's so many times where it's just not appropriate and it's just out of line on the parent end because they take it personal on behalf of their kids. So I don't know if you want whichever one of those things you want to kind of talk about first or if you just want to talk about it in general.
First one, clicks.
Yeah.
If you're not in a clique, good for you.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, it's actually good. 1,000% honest. I know. 1,000% honest because then you don't listen. You don't have to listen to all the bullshit. If you're just a weirdo and people don't like to talk to you because you're throwing them off, which we've had a couple, that's a different story. But then you don't know the difference anyways, right? Pigs don't know pigs stink. So, right? So the cliques are like the worst thing ever because all you hear is a bunch of bullshit. And then that's how you find out, that's how you find or you get in tune with what everyone's thinking. Like the coach is an idiot. Look, he should have done this, should have done that. And then you start watching for things. So like my thing would be like as a parent, hockey parent, and I've always tried to do this. I don't know if I'm great at it because I've been in Guelph. I've got a ton of friends. So maybe I'm in a clique. I don't know, but I don't follow people. So I would go take my kid to the rink. I would be friendly to everybody. Hi, how you doing? Genuinely interested. Eric, how's you know, if we're talking, I'm not going out of my way. How's everything at PowerTech? Good. You're enjoying it. That's awesome. Kids are good. Yeah. And I saw your, you know, that stuff. That's all good. I don't want to talk about hockey with you because you're self-serving. I'm self-serving. The coach is an idiot. I don't want to talk about the coach, all that stuff. So I'm better off on my own. And then just a lesson in life is that the more people you follow, the more of a, you know, you're just in the herd, right? If real, true people that got their shit together don't need to be in the herd, right? They can think on their own and they can make a decision. So that's what I say about cliques. Stay away from them. You're not losing any friends. Trust me.
Yeah, I know. And it's a weird thing too, because like a lot of times, like, kids' parents are just friends because of other things too. So it's like, who cares, man? Like, it doesn't matter. You know, like the kids play baseball together too, or the kids, they have drawing class, or their sisters are in the same, on the same soccer team. Like, you don't know. So it's like, if there's a parent, parents that hang out and you're not included, like, come on, man, what are we 15?
Can I tell you a funny story? I won't go into too much detail. I told you this before, but this is what's funny. So there's always a couple guys that I could, at the rink, we go have a couple beers when Charlie was in youth hockey. And it was always light. We were just joking around. We didn't talk about hockey. The exception would be, wow, he had a good game. Wow, he played a good game. That was it. I swear to God. So we were at the, where the kids played. Where there was a big table. So we sat there. We were having a beer. And then the serious click dads came. And
just kills the vibe.
So I had both, one here, one across like where you are, and then a table full of other dads and moms. And they're all just talking about hockey. So just for, if anyone doesn't know this, I'm a really funny guy. No, like I got some stories, right? Like if I have a story, you want to listen. So I go, oh man, I said, you guys want to hear a funny? So everyone stopped, said, yeah, what happened? So as I started talking, it took about 5 seconds. And these other guys, they realized it wasn't about the hockey game. The coach is an idiot. Who are going to be playing the playoffs, blah, 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 all this stupid shit. And as I'm talking, they all just turn their heads and they continue their conversations, except for my two buds. So I finished the conversation and I looked at John and I go like this. And he started laughing because he caught it right away. And I looked at my other bud and he started laughing. I said, I said out loud, didn't hear one word. It wasn't about hockey. And they didn't hear that either.
Yeah.
So it's like, all they care about is that negative or the bullshit that's not real.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not saying everybody's like that, but that's like the clicks. That's what they're invested in their kids, the team, the coach.
Yeah, I got it. I got it. What about the coach is an idiot or ice time kind of shit?
Coach isn't an idiot.
Yeah.
Some coaches in youth hockey might appear to be idiots, but they're doing it. I always love it. Like one of the things I heard a parent say is like, the coach has to do something. And I challenged the guy and I said, like what's something? Well, I don't know, something. And he said it like, God, it's like, okay, but what's something? What's the something that you, like, if he wrote on the board, we need to do something, like how do you execute something? He goes, well, no, like they got to do something. Like, well, yeah, that's how much of an idiot he is. He's actually got a breakout and a forecheck and a power play, and you have something. That's your words. So the coach probably isn't an idiot. He probably took a course in hockey. And he might be a goofy. He might not do it the way you like it, but he's probably not an idiot. And then the higher level you go, like if you sit there and say with conviction that your OHL coach or your junior B coach is an idiot, then you're wrong. They're not idiots. They're not doing things the way in favor of your life and your kids, what you see in your kid. So they're not idiots.
Yeah.
As far as hockey goes.
As far as hockey
goes. They could be idiots outside of hockey, but they're probably not.
Yep. Always exceptions to the rule. Okay, let's go to coaches real quick and then we'll leave. Because coaches can do this too, where coaches take it personal, like the parent complaints or parents going crazy about everything, or they're being blamed for everything as the coach, or kids talk back to them or have bad attitudes and things along those lines. It's from the coaching side of it. I wanted to include the coaches in this too, because coaches are just people too. And so all the crazy shit that parents do, the coach is also capable of doing, because it's just another dad or another mom that's in the same position. So maybe as the coach, maybe you can talk a little bit about some perspective on that. If parents are constantly complaining about stuff you're doing, or you got a bunch of kids that are, you know, not buying in, or bad attitudes, or talking back, or those
types
of things.
There's a quick answer. We just talked about it. It's part of the deal. You coach, you're an idiot. It's just the way it is. If I don't give you ice time, you don't like me. That's just the bottom line. You don't like me. You think I'm an idiot because I'm better than that guy. It's always going to be that way. Parent watches their kid. Listen, I've seen this. A kid getting ice, like let's say OHL level, can't get him off the ice. And then, you know, let's say it's a game is 6-1 now, and it's like, get the fourth liners out there. They're like, kid's missing a shift. It's like, come on, man. Like, this guy is ruining my kid's development. It's like, no, he's not. This kid's had four shifts. Your kid had whatever. It's a 6-1 game. It's called development. Coach isn't an idiot. This is just the part of the territory. Comes with the territory. Your coach, you're the idiot. And then people will like you until things don't go their way. And that's just the bottom line. And now, as far as the kids, given, if they have negative attitudes and stuff, that typically comes from up top, because you should be able to have a conversation with your kids on the team, and say, like, here's what's happening. Now, a good coach will do that, or a coach that wants things to go well and steer the ship the right way, he's going to talk to kids and say, hey, you got something going on here. Your attitude is like you're getting screwed or whatever. Here's what's actually happened. This is how I feel. That's a good way to do it, because communication is really good. But having said that, not all coaches communicate, and they don't have to. It's up to them. So anyways, you coach, you're the idiot, period. Always will be. The fans will hate you, because every decision you make is wrong, unless it's a genius move, right?
Yeah, unless you win the championship. Yeah.
You're the idiot.
Well, I wanted to include the parents and coaches in there quick, because they can fall into a lot of the same thought patterns as the players do.
Yeah. So don't, as coaches, don't take it personally. You just know going in, you're.
Yeah, and it's easier said than done. But I'm hoping that just from the discussion that we've had, it gives like some perspective to the other side. It's like a lot of things that you can interpret as being a personal attack aren't necessarily personal in any way.
All it ever is, I don't know if it's all there it ever is, but what it typically comes down to is, you will not be as liked, or you will be disliked, if someone's kid is not getting treated the way they feel their kid should be treated. And that could be right or wrong. I mean, like I said, you'll see a guy snap and call a coach an idiot when they're 11-0, but their kid missed a shift or they put someone else on the power play. He immediately becomes an idiot.
Yeah.
So
the last thing I'll kind of finish on, just going back to the players, because I remember doing this when I was a player, and I wish I wouldn't have, but I did. Don't force the victim narrative if it doesn't belong there. So that doesn't mean you can never have a poopy pants party. Like, sometimes you're going to have that just because you're a teenager and that's what happens sometimes. And that's okay, as long as you can cap it at a certain point. But a lot of times, and I hear this from players constantly, is they're the victim of their coach not treating them properly, or not seeing how good they are, or not giving them enough opportunity, or fill in the blank with whatever. And there's just that victim mindset of like, they did this to me, not I'm responsible for not doing what they asked, or I'm responsible for not being up to par with what they need. And you're just better off with that second mindset. You know, if you take everything like it is your fault, or there is something like you that you could do to improve the situation, then you're just going to be better off, and you'll be able to improve far beyond anything else. And then you won't, this is probably the most important point, is you're not going to unnecessarily close a door or burn a bridge because you're trying to hold a grudge, like we talked about at the start. And I could sit here for the next 3 hours and tell stories about players that did that, are doing that, have done that, where they're just negatively, the only person they're hurting is themselves. And that's kind of the moral of the story for the episode today that I want to leave with, is that, is don't cost yourself because you're too busy being a victim, or you're holding a grudge against an adult of another organization or something, where they weren't even trying to make anything personal, and you made it personal when it's not, or whatever, you know? So I just wanted to leave that off. I think it's an important topic for players, particularly in that junior age, but even younger, but particularly in that junior age where they're kind of responsible for their own play now. It's very, very easy to go into that mindset of, you know, blame anything except for me for why my situation is negative, or whatever. You know, it could be your line mates, it could be your coach, it could be your GM, whatever it is, you know. So just try to steer clear of that as much as you can. Do you have any closing remarks?
Just end exactly what you said, is like, you just have to own your life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, be responsible for, like you said, for things that happen to you or for you. Be responsible for it. So things that all the things we talked about is like, look inside first and say, what can I do? What did I do to contribute to this? What can I do to fix it? People generally walk, if you like, here's the deal, right? If you walk in, going back to the time thing, if you walk in at two for a 2 o'clock appointment at 10 after two or five after two for a practice or a skill session or whatever it is, you're in the bad book. So make it look at that. Maybe make sure you get there at 10 too. That's something you can evaluate. If you walk in dragging your ass without energy, that might contribute to someone. You're giving bad vibes off. Yep. If you work really hard and follow direction and you listen and you say yes and you do the cues that say like, I'm here and I'm alive, you're less likely that bad things happen as far as someone bullying, picking on you, coaches don't like you and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then if you go to a development if things you get cut, you get whatever, all those things, look at how can I be better? It's how you look at it. So that's what I mean by taking ownership of it is like, the first person that can fix a problem is probably you. And if you look that way first, like you said, have a poopy party if you need to, but don't make it last long. And it saves a lot of problems.
Yep. So, beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to stop now. One thing I forgot to mention at the start is end of the month sale for Blue Star. That was one thing I wanted to say. It ends today for you guys that are listening to this because it's Sunday when you hear this. So go check it out. Links are in the bio if you want to see that. And we'll see you guys again next week. Goodbye.